Welcome to the Company of Dads podcast, where we explore the sweet, silly, strange, and sublime aspects of being a lead dad in a world where men who are the go-to parent aren't always accepted at work, among their friends, or in the community for what they're doing. I'm your host, Paul Sullivan. Our podcast is just one of the many things we produce each week at the Company of Dads. We have various features, including the Lead Dad of the Week. We have our community, both online and in person. We have a new resource library for all fathers. The one-stop shop for all of this is our newsletter, The Dad. So sign up at thecompanyofdads.com/thedad. That's thecompanyofdads.com/thedad. Today, my guest is Jeff Zog, founder of Dad Awesome, a nonprofit that's all about helping fathers embrace their role as dads, about being present. Why? Because kids are watching us and they know when we love being their dad. The organization is rooted in faith, but it's open to all. As Jeff says, at Dad Awesome, we are about building a community of dads who are committed to showing up for their families, for those without families, and for one another. Jeff has also started Fathers for the Fatherless, a series of 100-mile bike rides to bring fathers out to raise money for children who don't have dads. Doing hard things physically and learning about doing hard things is a great way to help men move forward together, he says. Jeff is a husband and a father of four, all of whom are traveling the country right now in an RV for Fathers for the Fatherless. Welcome, Jeff, to the Company of Dads podcast.
Thanks, Paul. Excited to have this conversation and grateful for all the work that you're doing and all the dads that you're serving around the world.
How did all of this start? You were a pastor before this. How did all of this come to be? Dad Awesome, Fathers for the Fatherless. Tell that story for us.
Sure. Yeah, glad to. And I was serving in a local church as a pastor, as you mentioned, and some churches do baby dedication moments, either baby baptism or baby dedication, a moment that you pray over these young parents. You pray for them and you encourage them in their faith and in this new chapter. Well, I was doing that role at this church in Minnesota, and I realized as a young dad myself, I was not giving those young couples any tools to be specifically for the dad. There was nothing that our church was offering to help them be dad awesome, as we put it, be an intentional dad who connects with their kid, is involved. And instead, a lot of the resources from our church and broadly were for the moms. So I started looking for, curating, wondering, how can I bring something to these young families in our church? And that led me to an experiment of 10 weeks of doing Dad Awesome, gathering 10 resources. That led to now, it's been 278 weeks of a weekly podcast called Dad Awesome. So I started with a 10-week trial and it was helpful. It helped for my community, my friends. It helped for me personally. And I'm a golden retriever. So when I start something and it's helpful, I just stick with it. 5.5 years later, Dad Awesome continues. And then the second half of what we do, Fathers for the Fatherless, that simply was also an experiment. We said, what if we, instead of talking about being intentional dads, what if we do something to help kids that don't have a dad? So let's do something hard. Let's bike 100 miles. And 26 dads that first year said, let's go for it. Now over 700 have been a part of a 100-mile bike ride. And what we find is when you do something hard, like sit on a bike seat for 6.5 hours and pedal, when you learn about fatherlessness globally, locally, your heart starts to break and it makes you return home a more intentional dad. So that's where we do the two. I call it upstream work, intentional dads wanting to be more intentional. Downstream, sadly, the fatherlessness epidemic is these kids are being raised without a dad, so likely they could repeat what they've experienced. So we want to do work upstream and downstream. That's what Dad Awesome and Fathers for the Fatherless, that's what we're all about.
A lot to unpack there, but I want to start by saying, Midway, I'm grateful that you told me that your dog persona is a golden retriever. I'm a Labrador. That's my dog persona. But that also knows that you're loyal, you're kind. But I'll do my best not to throw a tennis ball in the background here because you'll be wildly distracted. I know.
I'm God. Yes.
And don't shake because you'll shed everywhere. So
for the record, though, I have a bin of 400 tennis balls in my shed at home. This is back home in Minnesota because I live on the road right now in the RV. Yeah. You can play infinite games with your kids when you have 400 tennis balls. You can make up everything you can imagine, from gladiator style where you're trying to peg your kids, you put a hockey helmet on them, to every other game. So tennis balls are a key tool for the dad life.
I love it. I love it. Talk about nearly 300 weeks of the Dad Awesome podcast. Who was your first guest and what did you hope to achieve when, you know, you started off with that first person?
Yeah. So my first guest was a lifelong friend, Kevin Kloss. He has now 6 kids. He started having kids a decade before I did. So he just had more years of dad life experience. It wasn't this far off mentor, sage dad. It was just the guy who's just down the road, a little bit more experience. And I just had so many questions for him as a young dad. I was like, man, I want to learn. And when I started Dad Awesome, I had a 4-year-old and a 1-year-old. So at that phase, it's interesting. I don't know if I would start Dad Awesome today because I feel like I'm getting it wrong in so many areas of the dad life. It's crazy to try to export, create something to help in the area of intentional fatherhood. When you feel like you're getting it wrong in the home front, it's difficult. It's really difficult. Yeah. Dad awful, dad average, dad awesome. Often I feel like I'm in one of the first two categories. Like I feel I'm failing.
This first guy you went to, he sounds like dad abundant with 6 kids. Like what is he showing off? Like he could be the daddiest dad out there?
He is, I mean, he's a rock star dad, but he also was really vulnerable. That first guest, like, so Kevin, he like said, this is where I went wrong. I mean, one of the stories he told, he for a month actually had his daughter sit in his lap and just spent one-on-one time with her, close to her. And it was crazy, the story, because he realized he wasn't connecting with her and she was starting to create patterns, rhythms, and it actually affected her physical health. She was feeling rejection from her father. And he tells the story, I'm crying, he's crying. And then everything turned around when he spent that time. She was healed of this physical stuff that she was dealing with skin and rashes, just the presence of a father and him every single night after dinner, sitting with her in his lap, reading books, being close to her, and through prayer, he saw a complete turnaround and healing. So there's stories like that so often that I'm hearing, just heart-wrenching, but also beautiful stories that I'm discovering all along the way.
Yeah, there's great research out there. There's interesting research out there. So obviously having, you know, 2 parents involved in your life, really involved in your life, is the best way to go about things. But if you actually had to pick one, the research says you should pick the dad. Now, nobody wants to, there's not great, you know, to talk about. We want to always support moms and a lot of single moms out there. But it's really interesting just how important that presence of the dad is and that leadership role the dad has. You know, you started off with, let's see if we can do 10 weeks of this, 10 podcasts. You know, you had this idea, you were inspired by what you were doing as a pastor with these young babies. And I get it. You know, this is why we started the company Dads. There are tons of resources aimed at moms. Super important. Everything that says parenting is really aimed at moms. That's a little weird. But, you know, for dads, there isn't, you know, so much out there to help us be, you know, better men, better husbands, better fathers, and none of that stuff about being a provider, but just being better as the human side of it. So you get to week 10, you're only going to do 10 weeks and then you keep going. You know, what was it that you learned in those 10 weeks that made you think, you know what, I'm nowhere near done here. There's a lot more I gotta do.
Yeah. I mean, part is what you're getting after, which is, I think more moms have an example, either their mom, an aunt, a friend, someone who they felt like got it right, really was doing it well, that they learned from. And I feel like that maybe nurturing side is more like in the forefront of moms wanting to be this because they saw it modeled. I think more of us dads did not have it modeled in a way that like we want to repeat what we saw. I think more of us actually carry some baggage, some hurt. So man, I lacked that dad who connected with me emotionally. And I'm so grateful because I'm seeing, and from my research, from my, all these hundreds of podcast interviews, there's more of us today that are living into intentionally what we want to, as far as connecting with the hearts of our kids and being there and being present, and not just being present physically, but actually emotionally. And so I think though, less of us dads had that modeled, and less of us are actually saying, I'll be a champion for this. I'll help others, because again, we feel on the home front like we're struggling, or again, we have got pain that came from our own relationship with our dad. So I just noticed a lack. There was just not much out there, like you said. And I said, I can be a cheerleader. I can't be a topic subject matter expert. I can be a cheerleader. And that actually helped carry me forward into now these 5.5 years is I reframed what I was doing. I'm not sharing things that I've learned and arrived. My goodness. Yeah. And now I mean, like I said, I feel like maybe I struggle more today than I did 5 years ago. But it's like I care deeply about being that cheerleader, and I'm hearing more and more stories of people whose dad life has been affected by things they've heard from the podcast and her.
Even you saying that you're struggling more now than you were 5 years ago, that's a huge admission. It's a huge admission for any man, any dad to say, I'm not getting things right. Or put it a more positive, maybe I could do things, you know, better. That's a huge admission. And so many, you know, men, you know, we talk about the man box, we talk about this link between, you know, masculinity and money making, and it removes that care component, which is so crucial. You're clearly on a mission here to change the conversation. But as I say, in life, it's often easier to be pushed out of something and then you have to figure out what to do than it is to jump into something new. I'd imagine, you know, being a pastor in Minnesota, you know, however many tennis balls you had at that point, maybe you weren't quite at 400 then, but that was probably pretty good. It's probably a pretty good life. You're supported by a community. What makes you say, okay, what's that moment where you say, you know what? I got to dedicate everything to this. We're going to get to fathers for the fatherless in a second, but I got to dedicate everything to Dad Awesome. And that's what I'm going to do now.
Yeah, I never described it as a side hustle because it wasn't part of my role as a staff member of that church doing Dad Awesome, doing the podcast. Those 2.5 years of kind of overlap, I was doing it on my day off, my mornings, my evenings, and it was a passion project, not a side hustle. Like I truly was passionate about it. And it never, there was no monetization around the podcast. It was just, I was doing it from a love for my little girls and a love for these other dads I was serving. The second component that you mentioned, we'll get to, Fathers for the Fatherless, was the reason I needed to jump full time. I wanted to jump full time before that, but the invitations around the country to lead these events and to grow that movement and the traction of it tripling each year, like that growth curve, the podcast didn't require more attention. That did. So that was the reason I jumped.
Yeah. Yeah. And what was that like? What was that conversation like in your own family with your wife? Your kids are young, but with your wife or with the church where you were before? What was that conversation like when you said, I'm jumping to do this new thing?
Yeah, there was about a year that I knew a change was coming, that I wanted a change to come, but figuring out the financial side of jumping with, at that point, three daughters. Then we added another daughter. So we were pregnant, actually. When I stepped into this full time, we were pregnant with our fourth daughter. I was actually walking through a season of my dad passing away. So my dad 3 years ago went home to heaven. And actually, this is crazy. Episode 1 of Dad Awesome launched 5.5 years ago. The next day, my dad rushed to the hospital with brain cancer. Lung cancer is what was discovered. He was in the hospital 10 days, turned into a journey of trying to seek, you know, medical help and all kinds of different things that we tried. But it was 100 weeks later, episode 100 of the podcast launched. The next day, my dad passed away and went home to heaven. So it was a 100 week journey of me launching this movement, Dad Awesome, thinking a lot about intentional fatherhood. Yeah. And those same 100 weeks were my dad's last 100 weeks here. And so it was a gift. It really was. It was a beautiful season. My dad was a champion, a cheerleader for what I was doing. He's an entrepreneur. He was like, let's go. He was a little bit nervous for me making the jump to full time. So we waited. Actually, I stayed in my role at the church till my dad passed away. And 6 months later was the right timing for me to jump. And the church actually helped send me out. Partly it was because it was 6 months into the COVID shutdown and we were overstaffed in part of the department. So I could actually tell we had more staff than needed in that moment. And I said, well, I'm willing to go. And they said, actually, that's great. Why don't you go? So they actually gave me the nudge in that season where I never want to leave during a crisis. I'd never want to leave a team, but it was actually the right move for me to jump to it full time.
Tell the truth, Jeff. As they told you to jump, they gave you a bicycle, and that's how the 100-mile riser. Is that
They gave a shove and a bicycle,
and they said, "Good luck." And there you go. Like, what? Wait, guys. Hey, I thought we're all friends here.
That's so good.
But the idea of it's so, you know, there's for people. You can pull up a chat. Go on YouTube. There's a very short, powerful video where Jeff sort of narrates and sort of illustrates this the sort of reasoning behind, you know, Fathers for the Fatherless. And, you know, 100 miles, that is a long time on a bike. It is not easy, even if you're going through, I don't know, Southern Florida where it's flat. I mean, that is a long time of pedaling. And yet, you know, there is a link in our culture between doing something as a way to show support. There are there are cancer walks. There are walks for schools. It is sort of it is. I won't say it's easier, but it's more accepted to do something, and to get you to think about the thing that you're doing that something for, than it is to just change your own behavior. And was that part of the reason why you linked it? I know you since moved beyond just the 100 mile, not just moved beyond the 100 mile bike ride. But what was the thinking between, you know, the so-called century and what you could do for kids who didn't have dads?
Yeah, part of it was I was paying attention to, was Dad Awesome, the level of effectiveness of Dad Awesome, a podcast. And at that point, we were doing a daily text message. For about 2 years, I sent a daily text to hundreds of dads with encouragement, challenge, support, ideas to be Dad Awesome. So those resources in the landscape that I could see, including my own family members who are dads, I felt like Dad Awesome was only impacting about half the dads I knew. Half were not looking for a podcast. We're not looking to be a part of a church small group. We're not looking for the daily text. And I frame it, who is like looking for self-help in the area of their, all the areas they could grow in of dad life. A lot of us are looking to grow in the area of finance or business or entrepreneurship or leadership or various things, physical health, strength. But the dad life, who's looking to grow in that area? There's a lot of dads that aren't, that were not in that way. Now, when I invited those dads, and for various reasons, were not interested in Dad Awesome. When I said, would you come ride 100 miles on your bicycle for the fatherless, a large, like the niche of guys who said yes, were in that niche, the guys who were not looking to grow, sit, like, I mean, Paul, the two of us could sit and have a beer, have a cup of coffee, talk for a couple hours face to face, have a great conversation about dad life. But there's some dads that need the shoulder to shoulder, need the side by side, let's do an activity for someone else. And what happened was, Fathers for the Fatherless reframed. It was accessible to the single dad, the divorced dad, the dad who's a part of church, the dad who's not a part of church, the dad who, it doesn't matter. We invite it. In fact, we invite all men. You don't have to be a biological or adoptive dad. It's if you're, we invite all men to come join this mission, because we just believe the heart of God is to be a father for the fatherless. Yeah. So all men can step into that fathering role of be an uncle, be a mentor, you can step in and care. So that's where it just like, it took off from a place of, it's a different framing of the invite versus listen to and grow. This is let's do something. And the conversations you have side by side while cycling really do get after, like, I'm struggling with this, or man, I could use, like this, you get below the surface when you actually suffer together and you're changing tires with mosquitoes biting you side by side and all these things.
You play that down. That's not good. That's not good marketing. The mosquitoes, the bike changing, not that. You know, there's some things in this world that are a pure good, and I think they sort of rise above politics or even religion. Not everyone's the same faith, and some people all get along and some people don't. But when you think of like how politically divided this country is, if you can get behind kids who don't have fathers, it's not the, you know, you may be angry at those guys who are not present with their kids, but it's not the fault of the kid. The kid has no agency over whether or not he or she has a father. And when you think about the men that you've brought together to do these rides, to raise money, to raise awareness, you know, a whole bunch of, you know, old guys on bikes going 100 miles, that certainly, you know, gets people's attention. How has it changed the people who participate in these rides?
Yeah, so we're so grateful for the guys who say yes. They say yes. Guys sometimes need a date and they need money to be put down, having to register for this thing to stay committed to something. They need that. Guys also need be a little bit vulnerable with tell others that you're going to do this thing. As soon as we've voiced it or shared on our Instagram or Facebook and we've said, hey, or we've told some coworkers, I'm doing this ride to help the fatherless. Now we're committed because we don't want to fail. Like, in fact, a lot of the dad life can feel like failing because you don't see any short quantifiable wins. A lot of the dad life, you don't see those. In this case, we're giving a concrete, we're going to help you train. In fact, half of our guys, so of the 700-ish guys that are, half are not cyclists. Half the longest bike ride was 30 miles. And now they're getting a road bike and they're training and they're saying, I'm going to put in these 10 to 12 weeks of training to be ready for a 100-mile ride. So what we find is that by guys saying yes, they stick, it's powerful when you stick with something that's hard. And your kids see you doing that. It's powerful even without your kids seeing it, but it's really powerful to do something hard, to stick with it, for someone else, not for yourself, not for your own, hey, I want to do this for my bucket list. I'm doing this ride for these kids without dads. Then we tell the stories. We show the pictures and the videos of the kids in the Civil War in Miramar right now that's happening. We're like, this is what our dollars are going towards. It's not like it's all broken down and Jeff Zog's salary is coming from this money. It's all going out. None of it goes back to the nonprofit I lead. It's like we find locally, there's kids that are wards of the state in foster care. They have no uncle, grandparent, parent to go back to. We help these kids find forever homes. That's part of the money that we give to an organization that helps for the kids who are in foster care find and are adopted into forever homes. Like it's powerful stuff we're a part of, but it does change. It changes us in it. I think the most tangible story is my buddy Sam. He actually, because of friendships formed, because of his heartbreaking for the fatherless, can't imagine his own kids being fatherless. He actually went and started seeing a counselor because of what was formed in those miles on the bike. So it gives us courage to do the hard things like seeing a counselor.
Yeah, that's remarkable. How often do guys come back? How often do they do, you know, one ride and then say, you know what? Not am I going to do it again next year. I'm going to bring a couple buddies along.
Bring a friend. Yeah. That's how it's snowballed. It's tripled a bit from word of mouth. And so guys do return. I've got a lot of guys doing their fifth year. Minnesota will be our fifth year this year. It's we're praying for the $1 million mark of raised for the fatherless that we crest that in our cumulative fundraising. So it's we've seen it grow, but this will be our year to push over $1 million, we're so grateful. And the guys want to come back and be a part of that. They want to be on the team versus on the sideline.
That's wonderful. What's your ultimate goal, though? You know, the podcasts are approaching, you know, 300, you know, straight weeks. This is the fifth year for the ride. When you look at, okay, you know, how long do I do this? How do I do this? What does it mean for my own family? What if I, you know, is there an end goal to what you're doing here?
Yeah, the central goal is not the individual dads, actually. The central goal, I believe we can only do so much when we're reaching dad awesome to individual dads. I believe in the local church. And I believe that God uses local church communities, communities of faith. And he's working through so many other aspects as well. But I believe the church is not known right now. Local churches are not known for a place that if you have your first baby and you're a dad, man, is that where would I go for resources, help, encouragement, cheerleading? My end goal is that the local church is known as a place that doesn't critique and tell you you're doing things wrong, you got to do this or that, but it's a place that just cheers for dads and says, way to go, keep going, keep loving your kids. Like that's my dream is the church is known for that. And secondly, the church is known for that is a place where the men in that church care about kids that don't have dads. And it's just known as a place that cheers for dads and does great things to help fatherless kids. So that's my end goal is the church is known for those two things.
So to take it out of sort of the charitable component, take it out of the church component, is it fair to say that to put in I was a business reporter for a long time, put it in a business context, is it almost like it's kind of like a franchise model, or is it almost like a train the trainer model where you hope that going town to town, city to city, when you leave, those guys who've done the ride will go to their local church and say, hey, this is wonderful, but how do we keep it going? Is that fair to say? Is that a goal?
It is. So the first couple of years have been the Zog family in an RV present at each of these events, from the bike rides to the triathlons to the Spartan races. We just did our first Spartan and we got another one planned later this year. So you don't have to have a bike and you don't have to love wearing spandex to engage in the mission.
You do have to like to run in the mud, if I understand Spartan races.
Climb over walls and get bloody. So yes, you do hard things. That's the essence of what we do. It's 100 miles. The run that we did was a 100-mile run. It was a team run though, so I only had to run 16 miles. We did a run once. We do hard things because by us suffering to some extent, I mean, suffering is all relative, right? But by men pushing themselves physically, we connect deeper to the mission. So to answer the question, yes, we've traveled, but now we do have, there's a spark now around the country in different pockets. And we're seeing that spark grow. And that's the prayer. That's our mission, is that we see through the local church, but also, you know, again, men who are adjacent, they know someone at a local church, they heard the rise of them, they're all welcome to join this mission. It's the mission's way bigger, but it's sent, it's anchored in local churches.
Are you, you know, at the end of the day though, you know, does some of your salary go to ultimately buying you like one of those really plush Lazy Boy recliners? So when you get back to Minnesota, you can just, you know, get slightly out of shape like the rest of us dads?
It is funny because like having even a bathtub accessible after doing a 100-mile ride to put like, to do a salt bath, like that's not accessible. Like I left the Philadelphia ride and drove directly to the Statue of Liberty in New York for, it was my daughter's birthday. So we did a 100-mile ride right into driving an RV to a birthday moment at sunset or a Statue of Liberty. So like we truly, I don't have a lazy boy, but I'm getting older. I'm 41 now and I'm gonna need more accessible cold water or hot baths after these rides.
Jeff Zog, thank you for being my guest on the Company of Dads podcast, Dad Awesome and Fathers for the Fatherless. Jeff, last question. How do people find you and how do people participate in all the great things that you're doing?
Yeah, we would love to welcome any from your community and just love what you're doing, Paul, and in the community that you're spurring out. In fact, I called my brother who is north of Brisbane, Australia. He lives on the Sunshine Coast in Australia after we chatted last about a month ago. And I was like, John, you are a lead dad. Way to go. I see this in you that you're taking the lead role with your kids and your wife has an amazing job. He has a job as well, but he still plays the lead role for a lot of that. And I was like, way to go. I'd never been able to frame it that way. And he actually like, he really received that. So I just, you have reframed for me cheering on lead dad. So the ways that guys can connect is fathers for the fatherless is F number four, letter F dot bike. It's a weird one. F for F dot bike. Or on Instagram at fathers for the fatherless. And then dad awesome is dadawesome.org and at dad awesome on Instagram.
Jeff, thank you again. I've thoroughly enjoyed our talk today.
Thanks, Paul.
Thank you for listening to the Company of Dads podcast. I also want to thank the people who make this podcast and everything else that we do at the Company of Dads possible. Helder Mira, who is our audio producer. Lindsay Decker, who handles all of our social media. Terry Brennan, who's helping us with the newsletter and audience acquisition. Emily Servin, who is our web maestro. And of course, Evan Roosevelt, who is working side by side with me in many of the things that we do here at the Company of Dads. It's a great team. And we're just trying to bring you the best in fatherhood. Remember, the one-stop shop for everything is our newsletter, The Dad. Sign up at thecompanyofdads.com/thedad. Thank you again for listening.